Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Emergence News, where we discuss the reappearance and the arrival of Maitreya, the next world teacher, a great spiritual avatar, but in the same breath as well, a friend and brother of us all. Maitreya will show us the high level from which we have fallen into the mediocrity of materialism today. Maitreya will show the way forward through the acceptance of the principle of sharing and declaring our sense of the one brotherhood of humanity, enabling us to set out again on the spiritual path, the path that leads not to competition but to oneness. That is what the new Aquarian Age is about, the age of synthesis. Synthesis means the drawing together and the creation of oneness, a unity out of disparate parts. This is the aim of evolution, unity in diversity. In the studio today are Shafir and Peter. The inspiration behind today's program is an article published in the Guardian newspaper in early February, and it's titled Schools That Cultivate the Mind But Neglect Spiritual Education, Leaving Children Unanchored in a Challenging World. And on that note, I'll bring in Shafir to the studio. Hi, Shafir. Kia ora.
Hello, kia ora.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, nice to be here.
This is the last time you're going to be on our program for a wee while.
It is, yes. Yes, I returned back to the UK.
What's been the highlight? I guess you've had a number of highlights for the over the last 4 months that you've been in New Zealand. You first came over to attend a graduation.
Yes, that's right. My daughter's PhD, and then I've done a retreat up in Mana in the Coromandel, and I've visited lots of friends and caught up with family, and of course my little Moko, who's 8 years old, so she's really missed her nana. So yeah,
and of course, and you've been able to step into the gap.
Into the breach. It's felt like I've stepped into my old life again.
Yes, into the radio studio.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. John's been away during this time, so it's been an absolute pleasure, Peter, hasn't it, to have Shafir back in the studio.
Yes. It's just like old times.
Yes.
It has been, hasn't it? And you're looking at this interesting article that was published a few weeks back in early February in The Guardian. Tell us a little bit about The Guardian newspaper.
So The Guardian newspaper is supposed to be a liberal sort of left-wing paper in the UK. It's independently run.
It's owned by an independent trust?
Yes, that's right. And I think what's exciting is that it's, you know, for me with this article is that they are reporting there on, you know, it's like a global family we're becoming. You can see this because they're, you know, this is a focus on Māori work and spirituality. And so it's sort of, you know, that they're actually featuring that in The Guardian.
Yes, the writer is from here in New Zealand,
yes,
Aotearoa.
That's right, yes. And it's nice that they're featuring those sort of different people, you know, from all around the world. Yes, yes.
And Peter, the great spiritual warrior, the next world teacher, Maitreya, he says that our education systems must balance academic knowledge with inner education.
That's right. Yes, there needs to be a change of focus towards the spiritual to balance the materialism that we're faced with. We're all faced with it every day. And basically, we need a balance in our lives. We need to understand who we are, why we're here, what we're doing.
And Peter, the article from the master.
Yes.
This is Benjamin Krem's master, or is it
That's
DK?
Right. Yes, it's Benjamin Krem's master. And he originally gave a talk on every Share International magazine that was produced, there was always a master's message.
Amazing. There's not many magazines that can offer a contributor from the spiritual hierarchy of our planet.
Yeah. Nor ones that are so relevant, you know, sort of 20, 30 years later.
They're timeless, aren't they?
Yeah, they are timeless, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, that's sort of shows how wisdom works, doesn't
yes,
it? Because it is relevant. It is. You could look at it 100 years' time, it will still be relevant.
You are listening to Emergence News on Plains Media, broadcasting across Canterbury and Christchurch City on 96.9 FM. Welcome to the program, live streaming and available as a podcast on plains.org.nz. And we cross now to Shafia, and Shafia has an article written by a New Zealander published recently in the Guardian newspaper in the UK.
Yes, so this is an article written by Kat Egg Damian, and she talks about schools that cultivate the mind but neglect spiritual education leave children unanchored in a challenging world. How true that is. So she says, as a parent, I want nothing more than for my children to grow into healthy, happy, purposeful human beings. Yet all around me, in classrooms, in conversations, and in alarming statistics, I see many young people struggling rather than flourishing. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, where I live, the numbers paint a stark picture. UNICEF ranks us lowest among 36 OECD and EU countries in child mental health well-being. High levels of bullying and anxiety among young people are said to compound this picture, contributing to depression, school avoidance, and isolation. And to clarify, we can say that Māori are very overrepresented in mental health issues, in jails and in lower education.
Yes. In the jails, over 50% of inmates are Māori,
mm-hmm.
and they represent 15% of the population. So
yes.
Something's not working.
No, that's true.
And the education system does need to be examined, and that's what this article's doing.
That's right. So global reports tell a similar story, with some economists describing youth happiness in decline worldwide. Technology and economic pressure may play a role, but they are not the whole story. A void seems to sit beneath the surface. Have we cultivated the intellect but neglected the soul? What do we know about spiritual education? Aotearoa offers a powerful framework for understanding this gap. Te Whare Tapa Whā, a Māori framework for well-being, describes life as a house supported by four walls, physical, mental, social and spiritual. Schools tend diligently to the first three, but Taha Wairua, the spiritual foundation, is often treated as incompatible with secular education. Yet according to the framework, it is precisely this dimension that gives coherence to the others. Wairua is the breath of life and the foundation of identity, belonging and meaning. Without it, the house leans. Spiritual education does not have to be religious instruction or proselytizing. It can begin with a premise found across traditions. Every child is a noble soul with spiritual faculties that should be developed. Most well-being programs focus on an individual's emotional regulation. Important, yes, but spiritual education reaches deeper. It transforms character, strengthens moral agency, and orients children towards contributing to the well-being of others. Guiding children to explore their relationship with the sacred, however they understand it, helps them to know who they are and why they matter. I can remember when I was at school that we always used to have the morning assembly and there would always be prayers, even though they were Christian prayers. And that now has all changed, hasn't it, I think? A lot of it, we don't say prayer. Whereas in the Māori schools, you always find they begin with the karakia or the prayer to begin their day. to set the framework for the day.
So that's even today, Shavir, doing that.
Yes.
That's great, isn't it?
Yes.
Because, I mean, the Lord's Prayer was standard in my day, but as you say, it's passed by the way.
And I think it's because, you know, there are so many different religions now and you might offend somebody, but there's would be ways of doing it, wouldn't there? Would you be able to say, you know, let us today, you know, enjoy the natural world, let us, you know, be kind to each other, let us be, you know, and really sort of set the tone for the day with teachers of it. I think it would make such a huge difference to the children's day.
I was looking at the Rudolf Steiner School. Their vision for educating the whole child is to create a cognitive, emotional and experiential balance, and therefore the child is better equipped to tap into a world of imagination, wonder, and this is the bit I wanted to pass on, and a reverence for the spirit that lives within every child.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful because, you know, I don't think many children, we don't see each other as spiritual beings anymore, do we?
No. What you were saying just before is it doesn't actually matter what the child's version of God is.
Yes. Yes, you can just be the natural world or just being kind to each other.
Exactly.
You know, those spiritual faculties that we all have and that are part of our spiritual identity. Psychologist Dr. Lisa Miller, author of The Spiritual Child and the Awakened Brain, argues that spirituality should be considered as a core human capacity. Her work echoes other research that claims young people need experiences of awe, sacredness and moral elevation to thrive. When children feel they belong to family, community, land, and to a spiritual reality that transcends the self, the epidemic of loneliness, they argue, seems to loosen its grip. And I think it's not only children, but for many people who are very lonely today and need that. Spiritual education should therefore not be considered a luxury. It should be available to all since it aims to respond to some of the most urgent challenges of our time. We see this kind of learning emerging and being strengthened across cultures and traditions. Māori centre Wairua, which is the spirit within. In Buddhist traditions, the breath anchors insight. In Islam and Christianity, the heart is the seat of spiritual perception. In the Baha'i writings, the human being is described as a mind rich in gems, with education as the means to reveal those capacities, not just for personal fulfillment, but for service to humanity. Some community-led programs reflect this in practice. Globally, including in New Zealand, the Baha'i Children's Classes program is offered voluntarily in neighbourhoods and occasionally in public schools with parental consent. I have a friend who's a Baha'i teacher for children, and she has children in their home, and they learn about the virtues of, you know, service, of kindness, all those different ways of expressing spirituality. She does such good work. It's amazing to see it. These classes use stories, reflection, creative expression, and simple acts of service that help children practice qualities such as kindness, honesty, courage, and cooperation. They also open space for children to relate to a higher reality and to recognize their connection to one human family. Parents often observe their children becoming more confident, thoughtful, and socially connected, precisely the qualities our education system struggles to cultivate. Across diverse traditions, the insight is consistent. Children thrive when spiritual faculties are nurtured. Starting with small, meaningful practices. Spiritual education starts with a shift in how we see the child and with small, meaningful practices that help cultivate their inner life and relationship with transcendence, such as brief moments of silence or reflection, journaling on gratitude, spending time in nature, and optional contemplative practices like meditation. These practices do not impose belief. They create conditions in which innate spiritual capacities can grow. And of course, in our tradition, we know that Maitreya talks about the education and talks about the rays and their importance in spiritual education as well, Peter, don't they?
That's right, yes. I mean, in the future, the teachers will be expected to know quite a bit more. They will need to know their ray structure, and they'll need to know their point of evolution so they can you know, massage the curriculum to suit their
students
further advancement.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see a beginning of this with sort of student-led education coming to the fore, don't we? We see it as a sort of like treating the child as an individual rather than actually just as one mass of one class, you know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, I think that the future is going to see a tremendous change in the education system.
Education that develops the mind but neglects the inner life leads children unanchored in a world that demands depth and moral clarity. And when something so essential is lost in childhood, its absence reverberates across a lifetime and across generations. Young people are not asking for more tests or busier timetables. They are hungering for meaning and are asking us, through their questions and their struggles, to remind them of who they truly are.
Thank you, Shafia. I do have one question which I came across in regard to this story.
Mm-hmm.
And the four components that were mentioned earlier in the story, the four principles of cognitive, physical, emotional and spiritual are all closely interwoven, ideally, in the mm-hmm. New Zealand curriculum. But from the Maori's perspective, the spiritual dimension is fundamental to their holistic development because the spiritual connects the other dimensions across time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that? Can you explain that for us?
So we have a lovely whakatauke called Kotahi Tonu Te Wairua o Ngā Mea Katoa, which means that that spirit connects all of manifested creation. And in the time and space also, they also understand that the ancestors always walk with them and by their side, teaching them, you know, and giving their wisdom and support, you know, and they always call upon the ancestors to walk with them. And
therefore, the child doesn't feel alone in the world.
No, no. And knows he comes from, you know, he or she knows that they come from this long, you know, caravan of people that have been with them all this time. And that includes mountains and rivers. And, you know, they consider those the ancestors as well, all the places in nature.
The need for children to have a sense of belonging, that's what you're talking about there, Shafia. Mm-hmm. Children, they need to make connection between their family and the wider world, a sense of belonging. And this is affirmed and extended by connections with people and places and things in their world. When the child knows they have a place in the world, the child is more likely to participate in the world, participate in their community, make a positive contribution.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, you know, with our politicians the way they are at the moment, you know, what sort of education did they have? You know, did they have any spiritual values instilled in them? And, you know, did they have any understanding of, you know, how to be the servant of people rather than, you know, just take?
Well, I think it's likely that most of the education system in the last 20 to 30, maybe 35 years, the spiritual element has been eroded or even eradicated.
I think so, indeed. You know, they just don't have any spiritual sort of focus at all, do they? And so, you know, everything they talk about is just materialistic things and there's no deep qualities in there.
No.
And I see an education system today which is designed for employment, for jobs, that a lot of the jobs that don't exist any longer.
Yes. Yeah.
So no wonder you've got young people in some countries, such as the UK,
mm-hmm.
where the young folk in their teenage years and young adults, they feel disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
There's no direction, there's no hope, because the education system is not delivering what they need and yearn for.
No, and they're just being, you know, what's being pushed at them is the technology and the sort of, you know, scrolling and, you know, social media and all those, which don't give spiritual values really. And we need to be, you know, education has to change for us to change.
It has to change. And the education for the new age, Peter is going to give us a reading on that, some mm-hmm. information on that, much needed information on that in just a moment.
The New Education by the Master, Sri Benjamin Krem. In seeking insights into the direction which education in the New Age might take, it will prove useful to establish the basic purpose which education serves, and so throw light on the inadequacies of present educational approaches. Firstly, it must be understood for those in education exists the process by which it carries out its function. This may be less obvious than at first sight may seem to be the case, for man has long been ignorant of his true nature and constitution, taking the part for the whole and ignoring to a large extent his essential being. Man as a soul in incarnation is an emerging God, and through the law of rebirth is advancing slowly to the demonstrations in full splendor of that divinity. Education in the true sense is the means by which an individual, through a gradual expansion of conscious awareness, is fitted and fits himself for that goal. All that aids this process is education, however formal or informal the method might be. In today's sense, education is a feeble thing indeed, ensuring only the minimum requirements for an understanding and control of man's environment. Few there are who learn more than the rudiments of life's meaning and purpose, caught up as most people are in the daily struggle for existence. Whole nations today are all but illiterate still. Elsewhere, factsful minds stand idle for lack of meaningful work. Education for jobs has replaced education for life, while more and more the stresses and strains of such imbalance erupt in violence of all kinds. Education should be understood as the means by which indwelling God is contacted, known, and given expression. Traditionally, religion has been seen to serve the purpose, and religious education remains a bulwark of many countries today. However, religion is but one of many paths to gods, and ways must be found which will allow all men to know and to express their experience of divinity. To this end, the new education should address itself. The fact of the soul, the divine intermediary, must gain general acceptance, and techniques of contact with its higher principles attain common usage. When the race structure, evolutionary development, and purposes of the soul are known and documented, a more scientific approach can be made to the education of both children and adults, and a new meaning given to the process by which men learn to become gods. All this awakes the earnest endeavours of those working in the educational field. Fitment for such tasks should be the aim of all aspiring to teach the young. Never has a better opportunity for service presented itself to those ready for the challenges of education for life in the new age, which now opens before us all. A new vista of possibilities will soon appear as men grapple with the problems of separation and division. This will release the forces and inspire the techniques of training and teaching, which will bring men in due course to the feet of God.